kids are real important to me as a starter. And they've always been important to me, even when I wasn't married, when I was teaching. Because I'm, you know. What was your question? Why do we have kids?
No, why is marriage important?
Well, why is marriage important? Well, of course, the fact that you have a companion to share your life with is exceedingly important. And then having children is a wonderful experience. And I got no regrets about anything. I shouldn't say that there are, of course, regrets. But I was married previously, but no children. And that failed. That's just the easiest way to put it. I could, you know, lucky me, because I came to Cooperstown. Anyway, things kind of get a little muffled up. You know, I'm 75. Yeah, things are. But I met Karen out caroling and Christmas caroling, and we were invited. I was invited, and she was invited too. And we met there and. We hit it off pretty well. We've been married now for, I don't know how many years, boy, I shouldn't say that, but about 33 or 35, I don't know.
Did you get married in a church?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're both very, very active in the church. And, the church has been a real big part of our life, our lives, and continues to be. And a part of that is the, you know, the church supported us when we got these refugees, and that wasn't an easy situation, as you can imagine. There were five kids, and the mom, and me, because that was before we got married. But she got sucked in pretty quickly. So I'm into it again, but she's not going to go for it.
What church do you belong to?
The Presbyterian Church, First Presbyterian Church, Cooperstown.
And can you tell me a little bit more about a particular minister important in your life?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I came back from Vietnam, from my military service, I gravitated back to the church. And I met the pastor there, Robert Hurst, and his family. And I was kind of a... stick-necked military-type person when I came back. And Bob Hurst helped me to see things in a different light. And, he was very helpful to me. He has been all my life. He's passed away just recently, but what a wonderful guy he was. And so we were married in his church. And Karen originally was a Catholic person. And but she's now a Presbyterian too. We're tied in with the church pretty tightly. So, is that what you were asking me about?
Why is religion important to you?
Why is it important to us? Well, I think everybody needs a guide for their life, for heaven's sakes. And we're fortunate to have being Christians and that's our guide for the way we live our life. And that may sound funny, but I mean, it took me a long time to get there. Well, not too long. I guess I was always kind of involved, but not in organized religion necessarily, especially when I was living in faraway places. Nobody else, there were no Christians in any place that I lived in. So, did I answer your question, more or less?
What are some other activities you're involved with in the church?
Well, there's a group that meets every once a week to study a book of one kind or another. And so Karen is the ringleader there, but I hang on. I come occasionally, although I've had a don't get too close to me because I've got a little cold. But at any rate, so that's one thing. And I'm an officer in the church. I'm what they call an elder. Have you heard of that term? Well, it just means one of the high mucky mucks in the structure, but not very high. We have a pastor, too, who's the head of all of us. And I don't know if I'd be there if it weren't for the pastor I met after I came back from my sojourn in various places in Southeast Asia. I went back and forth a few times, too. Yeah.
What are your responsibilities as an elder?
Well, they call them ruling elders, and that's kind of a catch-all phrase, I guess. We have a monthly meeting, and if there are difficulties or things that need to be dealt with about the physical property or this or that, we try to deal with those kinds of things. So, does that answer your question?
Can you tell me a little bit more about the current pastor?
Oh, yes, Elsie Rhodes. You haven't met her. Oh, yeah, she's really a dynamic woman. She has a couple kids, and she's married, and she's in her probably mid-40s, and very dynamic, and a good preacher, and a good person to consult with if you have a problem. She's really very, very active and very dedicated to her mission. So, yeah, she's a winner. And what else was I going to say about... What was your question about the pastor?
Yeah, if you could just tell me how she's influenced you or the community.
Excuse me, how she relates?
How she influences.
I really can't answer that too directly. I mean, she's always trying to attract other people to come to the church, and she has a wonderful kind of personality. She's very effective at doing that, and she also gets us involved in doing various things in the community. I don't know if I told you that for about 20 years now or 25 years now, I've been... And maybe this isn't even important. I go down to Uniana with a crew every month to serve at the Lord's Table down there. I don't know if you've heard of the Lord's Table. It's in the Episcopal Church down there. And we go down there and serve meals and wash the dishes, and that's it. It's not bad. It's only one week a month, one day a month. There's a deer going through the forest there. Can you see him? It's a, you look high to where he's probably going to come right out on the field. Anyway, I'm not a hunter either.
So how does the church interact with the community of Cooperstown?
Oh, well, the community is such a general term, you know, I don't know what to say to that. She makes personal contacts with people in the neighborhood, and she... meets and she makes herself available. She's a Rotarian. Rotary, you heard of the Rotary? I guess she does that. I wouldn't, I don't know anything about the Rotary, but it's a service organization, and she's in Rotary and active that way. What was your question?
Just how the community or interacts with Cooperstown.
Oh, we have lots of... In Cooperstown, the churches are pretty closely knit, especially the Protestant churches. And we get along with the Roman Catholics perfectly well. Although they had a great, what they don't call them pastors, whatever they are, a great priest there for a long time. He's gone, so. But we always have gotten along well with them. And there are lots of communal enterprises that our church is involved with and individuals within the church are involved in. We have a ministry of call it, I hate that term, but we provide food to, we have a food bank is what it comes down to, food bank, we run the food bank, maybe you've heard of that. And so we're open 5 days a week or 6 days a week. Thank goodness that's not my job. I load up the place, you know, and I get There are other people who are a lot better people than I am who run it. And so that's one thing we do. But we're involved in all kinds of things. Our church is involved in all kinds of things in the community and outside the community, too. So I mentioned the Lord's Table, I guess. That's right. It's in our church. It's even though Oneonta's a long way, we go down there once a month, fourth Wednesday of the month, and serve down there. Other question about that?
If we could just go back to helping refugees, how do you think Cooperstown can help refugees?
Well, first of all, Cooperstown's made up of very liberal people, I would say. That's the best way I can say it. It's a sophisticated group who are well-educated and are interested in what's going on in the world. That's right there. It tells you why we're involved with, and we've been involved with refugees for a long time, as I told you. I told you we had a family here, five of them. And we've had other people come, too. I mean, people from Salvador and that neck of the woods, many of them have come up through here, through Cooperstown, to escape to Canada. Because, you know, the federal government's not as receptive as, the U.S. federal government is not as receptive as the Canadians tend to be. So we run quite a few up to the border.
Are there any plans to help, like, Syrian refugees in the coming months?
I have my plans. And we are actually, our church is involved in in Utica. They have a large refugee resettlements. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not.
Okay, resettlement, entry-level resettlement. We've been up there, and we don't have a refugee family, but I know that people in the church are interested in that. And I don't think I'm going to convince my wife that we should do that, but some others will.
So if people can't sponsor a refugee family, what other ways can they assist?
If they can't? Mm-hmm. Well, they can, for one thing, they can go to Utica. There's a big facility, I don't remember the name of the place, it's a big building that provides all kinds of services to refugees there. And they're always looking for people to come up there to, you know, do this or that. I mean, they teach classes there. They do, English is a foreign language. And they have opportunities to recommend people for jobs. And so it's quite an operation up there. And have you been to Utica?
I have not.
Oh, it's a pretty good sized city. You know, it's probably 50,000 people, and maybe more than that. But it's been involved with different kinds of I don't want to say ministries, but you know, ways of helping people. So,
how have you seen Cooperstown change over the years?
That's a trick question. I really don't know how to answer that. You know, I've changed over the years, I know that. But everybody changes over the years, and communities do too. But I would say that this is a very receptive community to refugees, but also to students. We always have students come over to, you know, we gather people at the church from the student body in the area. And we do a lot, we have lots of activities over at the church that's appealing to people. I mean, we go out and pick blueberries every blueberry season and then sell them. I don't do that, but my wife does. I forgot what your question was. What does the church do? Or no?
Just how Cooperstown has changed since you first came here.
Well, I really can't speak to that. It's pretty much, I mean, we don't even live in the village, but we live in the area. And when people say, well, where do you live? We say Cooperstown, simply because it seems like it's a large community with surrounding areas also kind of seeing themselves as Cooperstonians. And there's good relationships in this county and in this area on many levels. Is that my cat? Yes, it is. It's okay. He brought a mouse in here to eat earlier. You missed that.
How has tourism affected the area?
I don't really know. I really can't answer that because we're not in that. We don't have any contact with tourists unless they're incidental. But you know, there are a lot of people who come up here for the summer too, which are not—they're not really tourists. They either have a summer camp up here, or they come all the time in the summer for 2 or 3 weeks. They stay here or there, and some of them have regular arrangements with the people in the village of Cooperstown, and they rent out their apartment for 3 weeks, and the other people go. People want to go someplace else. There are all kinds of ways that people interact.
So what are your plans for the future?
The plans for the future? Well, I've given up going to China. I cut my knees, anyway. I don't know. I guess I'm going to stay in the United States probably most of the time. Unless I get forced out by the politics. I mean, you know, I'm kind of a liberal. And it's scary what's going on in the United States, you know, to me. It's, the candidates tend to be not the best people, I don't think, for the positions they're seeking, and so that's a problem. And of course, I've talked to my wife many times about leaving this country. But guess what? She's a Skenevis kid. Do you know of Skenevis? Skenevis is on the eastern, northeastern side or southeastern side of the county. She was brought up there. Her father was a farmer. They milked about 20 cows, you know, that kind. That was the big number. That was their biggest number. And she has lots of friends and relatives around here, too. And so the chances of getting out of here are probably pretty slim. Although we have gone. I mean, we were in Mexico for almost 2 years. It was great. That was great. And she had a great time, too. She learned Spanish. I never learned Spanish. When you're teaching a foreign, teaching English is hard, unless you have a facility. Some people just pick it up like crazy. My son, we were there for a year and a half, I guess. He just jabbering away like crazy for the longest time, and very quickly. So anyway, what was your question about now? What do I see for the future, or something like that? Well, I imagine, I don't think we'll leave this particular plot because, you know, we own that property up there, and Karen does, really likes to garden. She provides a lot of food to the community and to our house, and she just enjoys that. And so I think that it's unlikely that we'll move from here. But, you know, one doesn't know. I mean, I'd be happy to go someplace else, maybe, until I got there. You know, this is a lovely place to live. And there are a lot of, it attracts a lot of very interesting people here, too. There are a lot of people that do things out a little differently here than they do in other places. And, I mean, there are not that many people who live off the lands like we do. Lots of people around here do, though. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have another job. They might have had one, you know, when they were younger, and they've had a small nest egg, and now they're supporting themselves. Did I tell you we have chickens and we sell eggs? And oh yeah, ours aren't even out yet. Can you let me just a second, because they should be out now.